A tool for people to connect with the universe and begin to understand it.
TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
Got an opinion of your own? You don't like what we're saying? Well, bring it on!
You ain't too big for me to give you a licking!
Phone lines are open at 1-888-GO-FOR-IT. It's MaxWorldLive.com. It's 11 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. We are live in MaxWorldLive.com. The show is being heard on TalkZone.com, and also a visual part of this radio program can be seen at MaxWorldLive.com. We have a four-camera HD system built into our studio, and also some graphics. Nothing fancy. It should never be more important or be greater than what we're talking about and the conversations we're having. But if you're stuck on your computer and you want to just see who we look like, it's not worth watching all the time because nothing really, I mean, there's nothing going on. We're not an exciting TV program or anything.
But if one of us were to shoot the other one, you'd actually be able to see it.
We would be able to see it, and we'd see it live.
Ooh.
And
are you saying it got close to that? I don't know.
I like the camera stuff because I believe that radio is magical, and it is not because you can't see us. It is because the passion that comes through your speakers, and I just think it's nice sometimes to see what the people look like. Now we see David Bloom over here in the corner, and nice, respectable, and everything. If I push this, you can see also he can look like an unshaven geek.
Why did you send that picture?
We have all kinds of pictures.
That's the one I had.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why did you send that picture?
We'll get a nice one of you if you want us to. I'll give you the $5 to go to Kmart.
Believe me, that is an accurate representation of my existence.
Then there
this
you go.
This right here?
Then that's
yes,
all right.
That's usually what you look like.
Pretty
much.
I got to tell you, here's what Mrs. McRoberts said. Look at the guy's eyes.
Look at his eyes?
Look at his eyes. Look how deep they are. That was her statement. You got great eyes.
Okay.
He does.
I mean, I like your wife.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure your wife has said the same thing about you.
She has.
Exactly.
Mrs. McRoberts, here, what do my eyes tell you? What are these little Irish?
Let's get the DSM-4 out.
Spectacles.
Yeah, there it is. There
what
it is.
Mrs. McRooster, what do these eyes tell you? Let me see. What are these?
Disorders.
Tell
which
you?
Disorder?
Anxiety disorder.
Actually, what was the disorder that we talked about some time back, Mac? Narcissist. Wouldn't that be a bit of a narcissist in what he's doing right now?
No.
Hallucinogenic dependence.
Hallucinogenic dependence. That's good. I love it.
All right.
I love it.
We're having some quite open conversations today with the Reverend and High Minister David Bloom, who quite frankly, usually a pretty brilliant guy. Today's, you know, 2 cents off his rocker. But
David.
You know, we listen at any time.
Oh,
and you said you want to come back one of these days and talk about how the signs of the zodiac relate to Christianity.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a wonderful conversation. It's a
all right.
Unbelievable.
I'd be very curious because I wouldn't get that. Just sitting here, I'm going, huh?
Yep.
That'd be great.
I've already emailed our producer Mandy Lynn and told her to get you booked here next week or something if we can, and we'll have that conversation. We want to move. Well, I want to move the conversation to the questions that Rooster has about the church and going to church and all of that stuff. But I feel compelled, before we do that,
to go off on another 45-minute tirade.
No, please.
And I am not asking a question. I am simply making a statement.
Okay.
Because I am being told this in my head. Which I know you guys think is freaky, but it's just
wait. We
it's the way
can't.
My relationship
don't put,
works.
Don't put words into our mouth.
No.
We have done nothing but support.
Exactly.
I am not
the conversations that you have with God in your head.
I am not one of those weird people who tells people that God. Well, I guess I am one of those weird people that tells people God talks to me. Okay.
But
I guess I am.
But I sense a lot of insecurity in you about that because you instantly assume that we are negative in that.
Well,
we're not.
But we're not.
Well, here's what challenges me on it is my sensitivity comes from it doesn't happen to you, and I don't think I've ever met. I've met very few people who walk as closely with God as you do. All right. It doesn't happen with you, Rooster, and your theological background and upbringing is that one a devout Christianity.
Right.
So it makes me question whether, you know,
I
don't know.
But you shouldn't. It's like me telling you you have a bad relationship with your wife. Who am I to say that?
I don't know.
We can't say that. We can't say that. It's just I've never. It's how to. One last statement, parting shot, and then we'll talk about the church. Parting shot. I'm trying to find an analogy. I'm looking for an analogy.
Here, let me
an analogy. I can't understand how you feel. I'm trying to look for that analogy if I've never experienced it.
Well, here, let me give you another.
I'm trying to go there. I can't find it though.
Until a half hour ago, I never thought it was weird that God talked to me. However, where I can relate to what I think you're feeling is I think I've told you this, David, and I think you've heard this before, but I don't tell the story very often because I think people think I'm a freak. But I saw Jesus once. Just once.
Well, that's right. You told me the story.
He appeared before me. We didn't converse. He was see-through.
Apparition.
Transparent.
I asked him to protect me from something. I was absolutely fearing for my life. I really, really thought my life was going to be over. And I asked him to protect me, and he did.
No problem with that.
I got no problem with that either. My uncle told a story prior to him dying. He was the pastor of the church where I was raised. He told a story about how he was wrestling with a particular situation. And he had taken some time off, and we had a place out in Colorado, and he loved to hike. He loved the outdoors. He felt so very close to God by doing that, which is a good thing. And as I recall, there was, and I may not have the story right, but the whole thing will work. All of a sudden, he saw a man in a nice pair of slacks, blue shirt, longer blondish kind of hair. I mean, perfection. I mean, just looked perfect. And he felt that person was talking to him. And I don't remember the conversation. It was very short, very, very, very short, and directed him to do something that changed his life. Now, his belief was that God sent an angel. We have angels around us. You call it Jesus, he would call it an angel, okay? That we have angels around us all the time. And it was an angel that came to him and helped give him some direction.
Absolutely.
You know, that's fine. It wasn't Satan, you streamer 58054. give me a break, will you?
Hey, and the Bible is very clear that happens.
Absolutely.
There is no doubt in my mind that happens. Just because it hasn't happened to me doesn't mean that it's invalid for you, Mac, or for your uncle.
Absolutely. I'm just using that as an example in direct relationship to what Mac's saying. Yes, it can happen. I believe it
and
can
does.
Happen. So now, the question is, all of this conversation, why the heck do I even need to go to church? What's the purpose? I don't get it. Why?
Okay.
Well, that's the quietest it's been in this studio in the last hour and a half.
Mac is playing with something on the computer.
No, he's reading. Go ahead.
You know, it basically comes back down to what the Bible says. It comes down to what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we should live our lives in a life of community. And that's it. So when a Christian comes to me and says to me, yeah, I don't go to church, I say, so you don't believe the Bible? And they say to me, no, I absolutely believe the Bible. So when the Bible tells you that you need to live your Christianity out in a life of community, you think it's wrong? Well, no, I don't think it's wrong.
Okay.
Then why don't you? And that's all there is to it. Are Christians a pain in the rear? Absolutely. Do they screw up? Absolutely. Are they any more perfect than anybody else? No. But for some reason, God said, I want you to live out this life in community. And that's the end of it. And so if we are obedient to God, no matter how bad Christians hurt us, no matter how bad the church has failed us, no matter any of that stuff, and believe me, when he set up the church, he wasn't naive in believing that it was going to be perfect. In fact, he knew that it would be messed up. And it was messed up from day one. Don't look back into the first century church and think, oh man, they had it together. They didn't. You read Corinthians, it's a messed up church. You read the book of Acts. By Acts 5 and 6, you already got problems in the church because they're humans and because the humans are flawed. They did not dissolve the church the instant there was a problem or the instant that it misrepresented God. No, even the apostles. Paul had to rebuke Peter because Peter was screwing up. He was handling church in an unbiblical way, in an ungodly way, and Paul rebuked him in front of the rest of the church. I say all that in that we don't define our relationship with God by the church, but we live out our life, our relationship with God, in the context of a community.
Having said that, okay, and I understand that there are scriptures, was brought up by Jeff Remains, but two or three gathered together, I understand. And also the scripture that says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, and even more as you see the day approaching. I understand all those particular statements. However, Ustreamer 58054, I wish you would sign in through Ustream so we kind of know who you are a little bit. But here's the point. So we all should build $60 million churches, okay, and forget the poor. In other words, and we've all seen this. I mean, seriously. I mean, we can go back to Tammy Faye Baker and what's his name? Okay, and now if you go to his website, she's dead. He's still alive. Lord, does he look bad now? Not that he looked good before, but he's down in Tennessee someplace again, building this massive complex. Now, and I assume he's saying his directive is God's leading him to build and spend millions of dollars. I don't get that
right,
either.
Right. And I don't either. And just like anything, there's good churches and there's bad churches.
All right.
So don't interpret all of Christendom because of one church. Don't interpret all of the church universal because of one pastor. Find a church that accurately represents how God wants us to live our lives. And again, the only way we know that is by going to the Bible. So by going to the Bible, find a church that best represents your understanding of how God is in the context of the Bible, and go to there.
Interesting thing. The church leaders would probably say, and I appreciate where you're coming from, but I've talked to many church leaders, and they go, but ours is the only one.
Yeah, and they're idiots.
I agree.
Go ahead, 23 Matt. Minutes after the hour, we are live at maxworldlive.com, also on talkzone.com. You can also join us via the phone at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-GO-FOR-IT. We also have the availability of a live chat on our website at maxworldlive.com. And so you're always welcome to join us in that, also at maxworldlive.com. Our pastor, or our guest today, is the Reverend David Bloom, and always spirited conversations when he joins us. And the question is, and it's a genuine question on Rooster's part, and that is, and that probably comes from me as much as anybody else. I don't know, are there other people in your life that want you to go to church with them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My entire family would want me to. And let me interject this. I mean, and I appreciate you saying this. I was raised by a great family. Mm-hmm. I have learned as I've gotten older, okay, too soon old, too late smart, of what great mother and father I had. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't realize it. The one person in my life that takes a lot of criticism, even after his death, which irritates me, was my uncle, who I respected enormously, and he gave me direction in life. They all would like for me to be back in church. Many of them would love for me to be a pastor of a church. I mean, become involved that way. I just have some serious issues about church. I have some serious issues about how people act in church. And again, baby, I know you can go back. I'm judging based upon the people and not my relationship with God. I understand that. But you know what? There has to be some goodness down here, too, on the horizontal. Okay? There's got to be. Mm-hmm. And what bugs the ever-loving hell out of me is on Sunday morning, it's all Jesus and good, but, you know, Friday night, they're out like a bunch of banshee Satan followers. Okay? And I'm not saying that about anybody in particular. I'm using that as an example, which is truth. I believe you've got to lead that life during the day, during the evening, when you're in church, when you're out of church. And I don't see that. I don't see that out of people.
So
what good is it doing for them? There's the bottom line.
So Mac, you know, there's been times on this program before where you felt like we were kind of nailing you Now's the chance to nail Rooster. So do you do that in your life? So
absolutely
do you live
not.
Your life? So why not? So do you live your life in a consistent way with what you know to be the truth in the Bible?
No.
Why not?
No. I'll tell you why. Because for some reason I can't seem to get it together. Okay? And that's the secondary reason. And there's certain things that I definitely believe and I'm convicted on. We don't have to pick those out, A, B, and C, mm-hmm. that I would not feel comfortable having in my life if I were to go to church. Here's the big twist. You're going to love this, okay? So if I go to church on Sunday morning or Saturday night or Sunday or whatever the time is or Wednesday, whatever it is, mm-hmm. there are things in my life that I choose not to give up.
Okay.
So nothing terribly bad, but I don't feel like I would be the Christian I need to be if I were there and I know I still have them in my life. Now, others seem to be able to handle that.
So the issues that you have with people in church that act one way on Sunday morning and a different way on Friday night, you see the same issues in your life.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so I choose not to go is my conviction to prove I won't go. How are you going to handle that one, bud?
Okay, it's hard to deal with the rationalism.
It is. It's difficult.
Because you're saying that I don't go to church because the people that are there are hypocrites because they do one thing on Sunday, but I'm going to live my life the exact same way.
Yes, sir. But I choose not to go to church and be that hypocrite. I am who I am.
So would we all agree that our relationship with God really has nothing to do with church? That you can be a Christian and not go to church? Is that true?
I believe that you can, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely you can, because that is not a qualifier of whether you go to heaven or hell is by going to church. Church is just a response to response to God's authority in our life, saying, I want you to do this. Two, I love you. Do you love me? Is it a response? Do you obey him out of a love for him?
Yes.
So he says, but going to church does not say have your life together. You don't have to have your life together to go to church. Just like you don't have to have your life together to become a Christian. In fact, Jesus says, I come to help those who are messed up, not the ones who got it together.
Okay, the DMR book would probably be about the right thing to use right now with me. Mac, now understand why we have both books in the studio, because I need the second one.
Well, you need the first one, too.
Well, yes.
Can I also say, and I know I'm going to offend some people here, and please, I don't mean to offend. Well, and then, of course, God tells me if I don't mean to offend, then don't say what I'm going to say.
I'll say it anyway.
But is it not true, Rooster, that your primary experience with going to church is one church and one denomination?
The way that I was raised, which is like many of us in this world, we were born and raised into a particular affiliation.
Right,
the answer
right.
to that's true. Have I researched others? Absolutely. Have I gone to other churches? Absolutely. Furthermore, have I gone to all churches to know everything? Absolutely not. But I have done what I consider to be my due diligence. I've sat in churches and listened and felt nothing, okay, and got nothing back out of it.
But when you read your Bible, you get something out of it.
I actually feel that I get more when I have that in front of me, read those scriptures. The term, it jumps out off the pages to you. Now, it's not every day, but there's been many times that it's like, oh, man. Okay, I got it. I get it.
The Spirit of God convicting you. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So I have this hard time with, let me give you another phrase, Bible thumpers. Always, yeah, let me tell you how it is. You know, Bible thumpers.
But wouldn't you say that that's what I am?
You know what? And most of the time I would have said yes, but no. No, I don't. Because I don't feel that you're criticizing me to the point where you're going, you're a sinner going straight to hell. That's a Bible thumper.
Okay.
You're not doing that to me.
Right. Well, nobody can do that.
No. Well, I think
because I don't know your heart. I can't make that judgment call.
It's I understand. Everybody out there's going, poor Rooster. He's all screwed up. Well, I may be, guys, but I'm going to tell you this. I will question, and one day, I believe that maybe maybe something will change in me. Maybe something will be different. But right now, I've got all these questions that I cannot get 100% of the answer on.
I'd like to just make the point, and then we'll take a break and come back, that day is today. Since I met you, and since I have begun working with you, your heart and your spirit has changed. So I would tell you that you say one day, I would tell you that that day has arrived. It's just not measured in minutes, hours, or by sunrises, or by sunsets. We're going to take a break, and we're coming back. Our guest is the Reverend David Bloom from Two Rivers Church here in Des Moines, Iowa. If you're listening on Ustream today or at maxworldlive.com, we do have the visual element to the program, and we appreciate that you taking the time to check in with us. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, it's Jonathan's Front Porch, and that's all live here in MaxWorld on maxworldlive.com.
This is MaxWorld Live at maxworldlive.com.
Hi, this is Mac from maxworldlive.com, and I'll tell you, every day we love doing what we do. Rooster and I get up early in the morning. It's kind of hard not to get up early with a rooster. We look at what's going on all the way across the heart of America. What are the passionate stories that you care about? What are the news items that grind your teeth? What are the stories that reach in and grab you by the heartstrings and make you feel what it is to be an American? Well, if today's show is something you enjoy listening to, we have all of our previous shows on podcast, both visually and auditorily, available for you at maxworldlive.com. So feel free, go back and listen to another one of our old shows. Listen to something we did on a previous subject. But most importantly, feel the passion. Get fired up. Get in there and get involved in what's going on in this great country of ours and in the heart of America. And if you love this show, you can hear every one of them. It's MaxWorldLive.com starring Rooster McRoberts. All of our shows are previously podcast and available to you. And if I haven't told you lately, thanks for listening. I love my job and I couldn't do it without you. Right here at MaxWorldLive.com.
Your Paper is your source for homemade papers, cardstocks, and unique paper gifts. They specialize in made-to-order custom wedding invitations, graphic design, and just about any other type of design project you might have. Your Paper offers an eclectic selection of gift items, perfect for just about any person on your list. They are pleased to offer small business graphic design ranging from company logos, marketing pieces, and more. Call today to set up an appointment with one of their qualified designers. Pure Paper is located in the historic East Village, 412 East 6th Street, or call for an appointment, 255-3533. Again, that's 255-3533.
Hi, this is Sam Acheson of Acheson Auto Works. Did you know that we've been serving our customers in Des Moines and surrounding suburbs since 1947? Yep, we like to call ourselves the professional repairers. Why? Because we're not a dealership. We don't sell cars. Repairing cars is not a sideline for us. It's our specialty. That's all we do. Now, I'm not picking on the dealerships. They're gorgeous facilities, way nicer than mine. But who do you think pays for those nice buildings? So you want to buy a new car or truck, you need warranty repairs, go to a dealership. After that, do yourself and your checkbook a favor. When your vehicle needs service or body work, drop the dealership, forget the franchise, align yourself with Acheson Auto Works. We have thousands of customers in Central Iowa. We'd like you for our customer, too. We won't let you down, I promise. We're Acheson Auto Works at 8000 University Boulevard in Clive.
Our reputation is your guarantee. Acheson Auto Works, you'll agree. You can trust Acheson Auto Works.
You know, I don't know one single person who isn't trying to lose weight. Oh, there are people who are obviously 40, 50, 60 pounds overweight. And then there are those people who are 15 or 20. And they try to cut back on what they eat. They stop drinking regular pop and only drink diet pop. Or they stop drinking pop. Or they stop going to McDonald's. And they stop. You know, that's really not the answer to getting in shape and losing weight. I've always said, you are what you eat. So eat things that are fuel for your body and good for your body. I'll tell you one place that I found that's exceptional at this. MediFast. M-E-D-I-F-A-S-T. It's controlled by doctors. You do it in your home. It works. And you will lose 20, 30, 40, 50. You'll lose all the weight you want. You're going to have to be patient, but you'll get it done. It's MediFastIowa.TSFL.com. Check them out. MediFast Iowa.
You're listening to TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Max World Live, starring Rooster McRoberts.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
Phone lines are open at 1-888-GO-4.
You will listen to every word I have to say!
MaxWorldLive.com.
We're back at MaxWorldLive.com. 23 minutes before the top of the hour. And our guest today is the Reverend David Bloom of the Two Rivers Church here in Iowa. And we should make the point that you started the church 12 years ago?
About 9 or 10.
9 or 10 years ago. And then instructed the church or asked the church to hire a regular full-time pastor because you thought your calling was to start the church, but not necessarily to lead the church. Now, those are my words. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I'm still on we use an elder board, call it a board of directors, however
sure.
you want to call it, whatever.
Sure.
So I'm still on the leading end of the church, but I'm not the day-to-day leader of the church. We have two guys that do that, Rob originally and now a guy named Josh.
What's his last name?
Rob Randazzo.
Randazzo. I love that guy.
And Josh Goodman.
Rob Randazzo. The name very well. Randazzo.
Yeah, you got it down, buddy. And so, yeah, we hired those guys as quickly as we could. To lead the church from a day-to-day perspective, from a pastoring, mentoring, discipleship, shepherd perspective.
And you remain on the elder board?
Yes, correct.
Are you the elder of the elders?
Am I the senior elder?
Are you the
senior
elder?
No, we don't have a designation. We're all equal.
Is there anyone on the elder board that is original to the church 9 years ago?
No.
But there are people still going to the church
yes.
that were original?
Yes.
And the reason that I'm familiar with this church is that Davey came to me 9 years ago when they were starting this church and wanted to meet in a non-traditional environment. Right?
Pretty much.
What do you mean? Whoa. What do you mean by non-traditional?
Well, they didn't want to meet in a church,
okay.
and they didn't want to meet in a conference room.
Okay.
They wanted to meet where they felt their parishioners would be the most comfortable because they were seeking parishioners who were between the ages of 18 and 25, I would say. And so they met in one of my nightclubs.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Get me in a bar.
Yeah, they
Club Iguana Jakes.
Yeah, they met in one of my nightclubs.
Okay.
And you can also show them where else we met by going to the camera.
Yeah, and we did that for about 2 years, right?
Until no, we were in Club Iguana Jakes for less than a year because we outgrew it.
Yeah, they outgrew it. Club Iguana Jakes only had a capacity of about 123. So then we moved them over to Miss Kitty's when Miss Kitty's was built in 1998, and it has a capacity of 737. And so that's when we moved them over here, and you can't see it, but if you were to go, if you're looking at the camera now, and you go all the way straight, you can see what looks like some airbrushing down back on the far wall. There's a sign on that above one of the buildings that says Two Rivers Church in the time that you were here. And then they left us. Abandon us, cast us to the wind.
Oh, come on!
And no, what they did is you needed classrooms because your young people had gotten married and grown up and now
kids.
Needed kids. Yeah, places for kids.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How many's in the congregation now?
Oh, between 200 and 250.
That's awesome.
We don't have official members, so that's hard for us
just
to say.
Just an estimate of the attendance. And that type of, Ustreamer 5094 has it exactly right. A little wine with a sermon.
Actually, that was never the case. We never,
we never served alcohol.
We never served
alcohol. Not that we were opposed to it, but we certainly didn't.
Yeah, you did not.
We'll get you, say, we'll liquor you up first and then bring you to Jesus.
All right. Yeah.
And we have no doubt why you have a warped view of church.
Speak your mind there, will you, Davey?
Well, and this goes back to a conversation that we were having before the break, and that was why it is important to go to church. And I'm not far from where Rooster feels. Mm-hmm. I'm just fortunate enough to have found a church that I really enjoy going to, because there were times over my years that I did not attend a regular church. Now, because of my wife, we always had a church to attend. My wife is a preacher's daughter, and so it is very uncustomary for anyone in that family to not go to church on a regular basis. My wife's semi-involved with the church. And when I say semi, I'm not going to say very. She's not on hundreds of committees. She's not on the elder board. But she sings in the choir. Her ministry is her music. And I'm just fortunate enough that I love, really am fed by going to the church that I go to. And so my, but I understand where Rooster comes from completely. The worst part about Christianity
are the Christians.
Are the Christians.
Absolutely.
And we witnessed this ourselves just a few months ago when
But that's a self-incriminating statement.
What now?
What do you mean by self-incriminating?
Because if I say that the worst thing about Christianity is Christians, guess what? As a Christian, I am part of that statement.
Okay, hang on just a second. There's three people in this room. You can maybe identify two that way. I believe in God, all right? But remember what I said earlier. I choose not to go to church and be involved that way because I know who I am. Mm-hmm. So where does that put me in that statement?
No, I'm just saying that if we say the biggest problem with Christianity is Christians, and we would all say that we are Christians, we are including ourselves in that statement. That's why it's self-incriminating. I mean, you're saying the problem.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
I understand.
I'm just trying to exclude myself from that statement.
No, you can't.
I understand. I have people.
And I'm including myself in that statement.
I know you are.
I've had people in my life that were terrible Christians. And here I go and I say that. What do I mean by that? The thing people, let's get right to the core of this. The thing that people don't like about Christians is they think we're judgmental.
Well, they are.
And
can be.
Can be.
They, most, well, okay.
Can be.
Okay.
Part of being, and the reason I correct you, Rooster,
that's okay,
is part of being a Christian is not to be judgmental. In fact, there is no judgment at all in being a Christian. In fact, as I hear myself saying this, if we're really Christians, we have no judgment on other people. God commands us in the Bible, that book I do read from time to time, that it is His judgment and not ours, and we should not judge.
Right.
So then it goes to the question, Davey, why? Why do so many Christians feel that need to judge other people? Where in God's name does that come from? As you look up in the DSM-4.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, what'd you pull that book for?
Because that's where you find the answer. Because people are screwed up. And as Christians, we are still screwed up. And because of that, we have this tendency to want to justify our existence. And we justify that in a number of different ways. And part of that is by elevating our own position over those around us to feel that we are worthy or we are valuable to God because of our existence. And it's just a fundamental flaw with humans. It's true about all humans. I mean, it didn't take a Christian to be judgmental. You got non-Christians who are judgmental. They're just judgmental in different ways.
All right, so you just said something I think is very important. So being a judgmental person is a human trait. And whether we judge them on their weight, the length of their hair, whether they have tattoos, the kind of cars they drive, the wife or spouse they choose, what they let their kids do, isn't a Christian thing.
No, it's a human thing.
It's a human thing.
Yeah, it's a human flaw.
I'll buy that. As an example, my wife and I were out on our Harleys the other day, and we went to a particular restaurant, which I will not name. And we walked in, and I had my leather jacket on, and took it off. You could see the tattoos, the whole bit. And I'm living in a nice house, got great kids, got great grandkids. I'm not a hood, all right? And immediately they judged me by what I looked like and said, we want to put you over in this corner.
So again, what non-Christians and what Christians judge people on is just different. They still judge. We all judge them. It's just part of our human nature.
Yes. Yes.
It's just different. It's just the context of which we do the judging is different.
All right, but
it's all wrong. It's all wrong. It's all screwed up.
Well, all right, but let me tell you something. I do. I am not a I'm not a tattoo person. I have one tattoo, and it is about the size of a dime. And when my youngest child turned 18 and was now legal to get a tattoo, she wanted to have that experience together with Dad and I, so she got, I don't know what it is, some Chinese symbol for peace or whatever on her foot, and I got a teeny little red cross on my shin, because I always felt that if I was going to have any markings on my body, I wanted someone to know, should I be unconscious or dead, how they should bury me or how they should give me last rites. And the cross on the shin, to me, tells people, well, he's a Christian. So I had to change the way I viewed tattoos, because prior to that, I thought people who got some of the tattooing that people had done to themselves was asking for trouble, was making people notice it to the point where then that individual got to be defensive and say, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? You looking at my tattoos? So what I have done in my life, right or wrong, is now when I see someone who is obviously trying to get attention through their tattooing, I stare at them. And when they ask me, what am I looking at? I say, I'm just admiring your body art. I mean, I'm assuming you put it on there for people to admire it. I'm admiring it.
Absolutely.
And I am pleasantly surprised that 8 out of 10, I'm just pulling a number out of my head, but 8 out of 10 say, oh, well, thank you. I got this one here, and they start telling me about their body art. But there's still 15 or 20% of the people out there that say, well, just quit staring. Well,
what'd you put it on there for?
Then what'd you put it on there for? So let's turn that to Christianity. I see someone who is obviously trying to get attention through human behavior that we would judge as non-Christian or not godlike. Okay, you with me? Mm-hmm. And people have a tendency of examining and commenting on that behavior, and some of the people see it as judgmental, when we're really just commenting on the behavior. But when it adds a Christian element, then we become judgmental Christians.
So when we comment on the behavior of you not reading your Bible, that feels judgmental to you.
Sure. Absolutely.
Even though our intent was not judgmental in any way, shape, or form.
But when I hear Rooster, because I've heard this for months and months and months.
Right, and there may be background here that I wasn't aware of, conversations that I haven't heard before. So,
no, probably not. I'm seriously though. I think you're probably pretty up on the conversation. When I hear Rooster condemn's probably too strong a word, but I'm not going to go to church. I don't like the people that are going there. Da 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 da. I don't want to judge him. I want to lead him to a church in which I think he can find what is intended for someone to go to a church.
Absolutely. So Mac, when I hear that you don't read your Bible as often as maybe you might want to, my intent is not to judge you or condemn you, but to lead you into what could be really, really cool for you in your relationship with God.
And I understand that. And the challenge comes from with that from me is I feel that Rooster's judgmental of me on that.
Certainly.
And that because I don't read the Bible, I'm not a good enough Christian.
Right.
But I think you try to find that in so many people because it has been beaten down on you within your denomination in your church that if you don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, well, you're not a worthy member of this church. Because you go to and belong to a very conservative, stringent church and denomination. Would that be correct?
Well, I mean,
you're not far from Mormon when it comes.
Oh,
to...
No.
Hold on. Let me finish. You didn't let me finish. I'm sorry. I don't mean that.
Not in theology.
Not on theology. When
not
it comes
even close
to the
theology.
Rules.
Right.
Not on theology, but when it comes to the rules on how you should act and how you should do this and how you should do that, it is not the spirit that lives within you. You're a Harley riding, gun toting, whiskey drinking, you know, man. But I don't think I've ever heard you take the Lord's name in vain.
Well, you think when I say Jesus Christ that I do, but I don't consider that.
Well, you don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Okay.
You specifically say, what is that thing you say, Dad?
Dadgummit.
All right. So you have the opportunity to insert the Lord's name in vain.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
And you choose not to. The love you have for your wife and the relationship is one of the best I've ever seen. Very, very what Davey and I would call Christian-like. I mean, the way you feel for Mrs. McRoberts is no different than the greatest testimony of any preacher would give before his church.
Right.
I think about...
I would have to agree with that. Yes,
all right.
Sir.
All right. So, your judgment comes when people don't think you're acting appropriately, but they're speaking denominationally, not Christianity-wise.
Okay.
Because if you went to the Lutheran, and I'm not trying to, this isn't a commercial.
That's what I was waiting to see where this was going to go there. Go ahead.
But I'll bet you if you went to Davies Church this Sunday, I swear to God, I mean this, and you'd walk away going, boy, that's the most unjudgmental people I've ever met. That I have never heard so much just about the Bible and not about how I'm supposed to act and how people are supposed to treat me.
I've been told, and I understand what I've been told that I try to find the reason why I don't want to, okay?
Yes, you do.
So I've been told that, and I recognize that. So it's not a situation where Rooster doesn't listen. I do. And when you make that statement, you're probably right on the first go-round. You're probably right on the second go-round. And what I mean by the go-round is the first Sunday, then the second Sunday, and then the third Sunday, maybe even there. But by the fourth Sunday, I'm going to get to know some people. And by the fourth Sunday, I'm going to go, what in God's name is wrong with you people? So the point that I accept, okay, for myself personally is, guess what? I'm judgmental. But I also judge myself the same way and go, I don't attend because I know who I am.
But you keep yourself away from a relationship with your Father God that is a necessity to grow. Just as you say, I keep myself away from a relationship with my Father God by not reading my Bible as often as I should.
And that's exactly what my point was, is that Mac feels like we drilled him on the Bible thing because you're telling him that if he would just read his Bible, he would have a better relationship with God. I'm telling you the exact same thing reversed. God says read your Bible. It's fundamental to how we understand him.
Sure.
He also says go to church.
Sure.
Because that's fundamental in how we understand him.
I understand.
And the problem is you've got to be able to distinguish the two. From the sense that we don't understand God in light of the church, we experience Christianity, and this is why I would say in the context of community. Community is how it was always set up to be. When Jesus wanted to minister to the world, what did he do? He got a group of guys, and he discipled them. He didn't go out and do this huge worldwide evangelism thing where it was just him preaching. Now, he did preach, but that was not the bulk of his ministry. The bulk of his ministry was a small group of guys, three in particular, mm-hmm. but 12 as a group.
Right.
And then a group of 120 that was a little closer, even so. But his ministry was always in the context of community, of a group. And he lived that life, and it was flawed because he had guys like Judas Iscariot who were completely messed up, who in the end betrayed him, and who you would say, that's the guy, that guy's not even a Christian. So if you went to the Church of Jesus Christ during his ministry, AD 31, 32, you would have hooked up with a group of guys who were loudmouthed, who were idiots, who were thieves, who were, yep. you know, rebels,
yep.
and who you would say, that guy's not even a Christian. He steals from the money bag. That's what Judas did.
Sure.
He's going to betray him.
Sure.
And so you would have interpreted the very ministry team of the Son of God as flawed, messed up, and hypocritical.
I totally understand, and I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
So why not go to church today?
I'm, you know what, I'm working on it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Pastor David Bloom, we thank you for being here. We look forward to having you back. That's going to wrap it up for us today in MaxWorldLive.com. Des Moines Local Live coming up next at MaxWorldLive.com. Jonathan's Front Porch around the corner, live in MaxWorldLive.com.
This is Max World Live at MaxWorldLive.com.
Having your morning caffeine and surfing the web?
No, proofing my sign designs from Fast Signs.
You design signs too?
Fast Signs does. I send them my ideas and logos. They deliver innovative sign solutions, and they make me look good. They do all our banners, menu boards, and vehicle wraps.
Okay, but doesn't Fast Signs have to come to the office to discuss sketches and present proofs?
Fast Signs technology has made sign buying so simple, I can oversee the whole process online at fastsigns.com.
Let me see that.
Look, everything's right here, and it will be shipped to all of our locations. I review and either suggest changes or approve, and then Fast Signs has our order on its way.
It does sound simple.
It is.
Latte, ready for Jeff.
There's your latte.
Go to fastsigns.com to find the location nearest you.
As our scene opens, we find Tom Coates from Consumer Credit of Des Moines dealing with a credit customer and her credit card company. we hear Tom ask,
"So, why did you charge so much?"
"Well, it was a mistake."
To which the credit card company replies,
"And now she has to pay for it." "Wait a minute. Why did your company give her so much credit?"
"Because that's how we make money."
"I don't have enough money."
"That's not my problem." "That is your problem. Bad credit card debt is everyone's problem."
"She blew it. She doesn't know how to play the game."
"But she's still playing the game. She's getting counseling. As for you, you're fired."
Need someone to fire your credit card company? Call Consumer Credit of Des Moines, Iowa's largest credit counseling agency. Consumer Credit of Des Moines has 7 offices throughout Iowa. Call 1-800-955-5765, 800-955-5765, or find them on the web at consumercredit-dm.com.
Hey, Rod Doctor, 911. There's an epidemic and it's on the run. Call the fashion police. It's a style emergency. She shouldn't have tried to squeeze that D-cup into a B. So if things are going south at the speed of gravity, or your cup runneth over, face reality. Here's the right prescription for every woman. Call Broad Doctor 911.
Essential bodywear bras are engineered to lift the breast tissue an average of 2 to 6 inches, yet priced similar to quality department stores. The Bra Doctor 911 team of certified bra fitters draw a crowd in spas, expos, health and fitness centers, as well as doctor's offices, and also make house calls to homes and businesses. A new twist to the dreaded bra shopping. To host a Perk Me Up event, go to bradoctor911.com. Positions open in Iowa.
Independent Essential Bodywear Representatives.